Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, coming up in a few minutes, your message to your undecided congressman. We will have Congressman Hakeem Jeffries from Brooklyn and Queens on the show. He is, at least as of yesterday, undecided on military action for Syria. We will take calls from those of you in his Brooklyn and Queens district. How should Hakeem Jeffries vote next week? That's coming up. But right now, last year, Starbucks paid no corporate taxes in Britain, despite having more than 700 stores there and generating sales of over $600 million. Apple avoided paying billions of dollars in taxes to the United States, and they did it legally. Today, the leaders of the G20 nations are agreeing to try to fix that and prevent massive tax avoidance, evasion, and cheating, legal or illegal, by agreeing to force banks to automatically share customer information to tax bodies around the world. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist David K. Johnson is our explainer-in-chief on this today. He's the author most recently of the book, just out last month, The Fine Print, How Big Companies Use, quote, plain English to Rob You Blind. David K. Johnson, welcome back to WNYC.
Well, thank you for having me, Brian.
First, by way of background, from the point of view of governments that like tax revenue, how bad is the problem of tax avoidance and evasion, and which countries are winning and losing?
Well, it's an extremely serious problem. The winners are the non-country countries like the Cayman Islands and Bermuda. The Caymans are home, you know, to something like the fifth largest level of bank deposits, at least on paper, in the world. And if you look at the returns on capital in the Cayman Islands, they would make the most successful monopolists envious. But, of course, that's not really what's going on there. It's all manipulating the system through accounting and tax rules.
And for a group that is split on many things, Syria being the big one right now, I mean, we're talking about the 20 biggest economies in the world, so the U.S. and Russia and, you know, all the others who people could probably name at least three of, do they agree on this? Are none of them tax shelters? They're all countries that people are trying to avoid paying taxes in, right?
Well, every country, including the U.S., can be a tax shelter depending on where you are in the world and how your tax system works with their tax system. But there are a couple of fundamental principles that the G20 can address that will deal with this. The first one is transparency. You know, nobody would argue that an embezzler is entitled to privacy. Why should we argue that companies should have privacy from the tax authorities about what they're doing with their money? That's number one. And so exchanges of information, ready, open, automated exchanges of information is one step, and it's being promoted by the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. That's also sort of the old-style approach to this, Brian. And another solution, one which corporations hate with a passion, is to have what's called a unitary tax system. So if you look at General Electric. It's General Electric to you and me. Maybe we've heard of a few big divisions, but it's actually thousands of little companies inside this wrapper we call General Electric. And the argument of unitary taxation is you shouldn't be able to take advantage of tax avoidance through that. You should be taxed as a single entity, a unitary corporation. And if you do that, then you can tax profits where they're earned.
So no anonymous shell companies.
Well, that's one of the issues. Many of the shell companies aren't anonymous because companies use a technique called transfer pricing. You manufacture something in Vietnam, a widget that costs a dollar. While it's on a ship coming to Los Angeles, you sell it to your subsidiary in the Cayman Islands. You mark up the price so you can take all the profits there. Then you sell it to your American marketing arm in the U.S., and you sell it in a store in Manhattan and report that you made little to no profit. That's one of the techniques that is under assault by those people who think we can have a better tax system and that the G20 is looking at.
So since you're here as the explainer-in-chief today, explain the G20 agreement on tax reform. What is the automatic sharing of tax information, which is what I have read that's really at the heart of this, accomplish to curb tax avoidance, tax evasion, tax cheating?
Well, think of it this way. if you have a burglar operating in North Jersey and he hits somebody in Alpine and then Patterson and then another one of the communities, the cops in those cities may never see that burglar, even though he's working every day, unless they talk to each other. So we, in fact, have organizations all around the country of burglary and other detectives who get together and have lunch once a month to compare notes. That's the same principle being applied here, that instead of tax treaties that often are very limited and involve a lot of friction and waste of time trying to share information, the idea is that we'll set up an automated sharing information among these different economies, and the tax authorities will be able to look at records in a quick and efficient way.
And what information will be shared? Whose information will be shared? And does information change anything about, say, Apple's ability to legally avoid U.S. taxes because the loophole is in U.S. law?
Well, part of this, part of the issue here is access to information. That's a crucial part. I mean, if you cannot see what's going on, then you are blind as a law enforcer. And remember, that's what the tax authorities are. They're the tax police. So you're taking the blinders off of them and allowing them to see things. That's step one. But the second problem are these rules that allow companies to take profits where they want. And here's the basic trick. You want to earn your profits in the highest tax country you can, Germany, France, the United States. And then through accounting devices, you want to move those profits out of the country and offshore. And if you do it like Apple does, you actually can profit off your taxes. And if people go to nationalmemo.com and put in my name and Apple, they'll see a column I wrote in plain English to explain all this to people. But here's basically how it works. Apple or other companies make a product in the U.S., but they have various ways, like owning logos or research costs, that they move offshore. So when they sell a computer or a widget, they take the profits and pay it from their American pocket to their offshore pocket as a royalty or other payment. Then this money is not subject to U.S. tax immediately. In fact, it's never subject as long as they keep it there. And what do the companies then do with that money? They buy U.S. Treasury notes, which the government sells because it didn't collect the tax that it should have. Mm. So you and I pay interest through those Treasury notes to the company. And over time, the tax value is not inflation adjusted. The tax burden relatively falls. And the math is they actually make money over the long haul. And you and I are taxing ourselves to finance their deferral of tax into the future. That's a separate issue that is not being addressed at the G20, but it's a very crucial one.
We just have 30 seconds left. I see these G20 nations are giving themselves a deadline of next June to get this information sharing provision passed. What could they accomplish by June?
They can adopt a whole new set of rules if they're willing to do a rough justice approach to this. That's a lot better than doing nothing. We would have been here back in the early 2000s, 10 years ago, except one government, the George W. Bush administration, stood against moving in this direction while all the other major economies were ready to move. But hopefully we will see real action by these major economies.
Today's explainer-in-chief, David K. Johnson, explaining the tax avoidance and how the G20 nations at their summit today, though it's not making any headlines, and President Obama in the speech he's been giving this morning doesn't seem to be referring to it, only Syria, they seem ready to agree to this information sharing that hopefully will combat some of it. David K. Johnston's new book is The Fine Print, How Big Companies Use, quote, plain English to Rob You Blind. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up next, you might have seen Brooklyn and Queens Congressman Hakeem Jeffries on the front page of the New York Times yesterday as an undecided Democrat on whether to authorize military action against Syria. We're going to invite your calls as he comes on. If you live in Hakeem Jeffries' district, you can start calling in to get in line, 212-433-WNYC. Convince your congressman one way or the other. Should we take that military action in Syria? Convince your undecided congressman at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And he will be on right after the latest news here on WNYC with Sotirios Johnson.